Father, just to obey your word, obey your voice, to assemble ourselves together, Lord, with believers. Father, it's such a great privilege that we can do that tonight, knowing that you have brought us together, knowing that you will be here because you are so faithful, Father. You always come when we ask you to come. Father, you're here to do what we have need of, Father, if we can just get out of the way and allow you to have your will, to have your way among us. So I pray now that, Lord, you just take control, Father. Just help us, Lord, to forget the things that Satan would throw at us, the things of the world, the things that are necessary. But right now, we just need to set them aside, Lord, so you can come and just have your way, that we can hear your voice. All we want to do is hear you, Lord. Just that's all we want to do. That's all we want to see. We just want more of you, Father. We want to love you more. Lord, grant that. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. This evening, actually, I should say. If you would turn in your Bible to Judges, chapter 16. Judges 16. It's good to see everyone who can make it out tonight. Hope you're having a wonderful week. Let's start at Judges 16, verse 20. And we'll just pick this up in the middle, but you know the story. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." He wist not that the Lord had departed from him, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Tonight, I knew I was going to speak on the thought of Samson. That was what I've been studying on. And then just a little bit ago, sitting back in the study, God just took and turned a whole direction, approach around, and so I'm kind of not at a loss, but like this took me by surprise, so I wasn't sure. This is not what I was planning on preaching. Let me put it that way. So it's still about Samson, but I'm gonna call this Samson versus Job. Samson versus Job, and we're not gonna actually read from Job. We could go there just to remember, but we know what happened with Job. And so what we want to look at tonight is we have two servants of God, and both of them are going through trials. Very hard trials. Both of them had lost everything. We know Job, he lost everything. He's sitting on the ashes. Samson lost everything. He's making sport because Dagon, their god, their fish god, had won a victory over Jehovah. That's what the Philistines thought, right? And so he's in there. He's making sport. He's lost everything in his eyesight. Job's sitting on the ash heap. He's lost everything. But there's two different reasons. There's two different reasons for why they are going through these trials, all right? So we want to look at these and correlate the two tonight a little bit. Samson had lost everything because he had sinned and displeased God. Job had lost everything because he pleased God. Ain't that amazing? Remember, God bragged on Job. Have you ever seen anyone as true, as righteous as Job? And who was he talking to? Satan. He is talking to his own enemy. He's bragging on his servant to his enemy. And then he knew he's going to turn him loose on him. He says, "Satan, go ahead. Prove it to me. I'll prove it to you." Satan said, "I can get him to fall." He said, "Go ahead, prove it to me. Because I'll prove he won't." Samson wasn't that at all. Satan had got Samson to fall. Samson was paying the dues for his sin. Both were persecuted. Samson was persecuted by his enemies. Job persecuted by his friends. Isn't that amazing? So you say, well, that just doesn't seem right. Yeah, from a human point of view, maybe it doesn't seem right. Because here Job is doing all he could to serve God, and God turns Satan loose on him, and even his friends, his wife, everyone turns against him. Just as if he had done what Samson had done. But he hadn't. So why do we want to look at this? Because, brother and sister, sometime when we're going through our tests and trials, it's really good to understand whose shoes you're standing in. Is it Job or is it Samson? Because what you want to do is different. Your reaction to this test, this trial you're going through, is different. Because if you're Job, you don't want to change. You want to sit there, stand firm, and say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm a believer. I made the right sacrifice. But if you're Samson, you need a change. And what Satan will try to do is get you when you're Job. He's going to try to make you think you're Samson. And when you're Samson, he's going to try to make you think you're Job. You're sitting there as Job and you're going through trials and just having the worst time of your life. And he's going to say, boy, you really displeased God. You're a sinner. You're a secret sinner. You've done all those terrible things. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. God will not allow those things to happen if you were not displeasing him. What are you hiding in your heart? You know what they said to Job? You're a secret sinner, Job. Come on, just admit it. You're doing something wrong. God don't treat his believers like this. Aren't you glad Job, the book, is in the Bible? And then you're sitting in the other time, you're sitting there where all have backslid and you don't want to repent. And so Satan come up to you and say, you know, you're doing pretty good. You're doing good. You're in church. What else do you want? He knows how to get us all mixed up, doesn't he? Let's read a little bit here about Brother Branham was speaking on this message just once more. So I'm just going to read pretty much a bunch of quotes here. Okay, so Samson's there. He's making sport. He said, just imagine all day long drinking, celebration, fine-dressed women, men, warlords, warriors, great men of the nation gathered in this new building. They put up a new idol to the fish god, giving him honor and praise for the victory over Jehovah's servant. Doesn't that just break your heart just to say that? How many times have you stood there in the place of Samson and you know Satan just gloating because he's had victory over you, a believer? What a horrible place. Y'all understand where Samson's at. Now to make it worse, here comes the leading man, the messenger of the day, with his eyes punched out. Led by the hand by some little boy to bring him out into the stadium. The lad led the stumbling blind man out into the place. I can hear a whisper from the great mass of man standing there like a great machine, but totally helpless. God had raised him up for a purpose. Brother and sister, it's the same in every age. You've been raised up for a purpose. Every age is raised up for a purpose, and that purpose is to manifest the word for that age. That's the purpose in every age. And we have been raised up for a purpose to manifest the word for this hour. Now, are we Samson or are we Job when it comes to that? Because if we're not manifesting the word for this hour, we're playing the part of Samson. I don't care how holy you think you are. Our job is to prove it's true. And Samson had failed in his purpose. Job had not failed, but it sure looked like it. He was accused of failing. You ever been accused of failing? Samson sold his birthright, and here he stood, a man of machinery with no strength in it, led by a little boy. Sometimes we look around, we get this message believers, a million some people around the earth. We have churches all over the place, and we have this great technology. We have people could get the message of the hub, and we have voice of God. We have all these ways to get the message just permeating there. And we look at this, where's the strength? Where's the strength? No doubt in my mind, Samson had thought these things. When he'd lost his strength, he thought about what had happened. His vow had been taken from him, and he'd surrendered to the enemy. And they in return had took his sight from his eyes. Brother and sister, when you surrender to the enemy, the first thing he's going to do is blind your eyes. We give Satan the right to blind us. How do you surrender? You stop believing what the word says about you. It's that simple. Satan talks you out of it because he talked you into some kind of backslidden thing you shouldn't have done, and you start feeling condemned, and next thing you know, well, I don't really know, maybe it's not me. Bam! He takes those big old daggers and he sticks them in your eyes. And he proves to you that it's not you. Why? Because you already surrendered. Why did Eve fall? She stepped from behind the protection of the word. Once you step from back there, how do you do that? By stop believing what the word has already told you. God has already revealed something to you, and you start doubting that, you step from behind the protection of that, and you can believe that you're going to lose your eyesight. Satan's going to take proof. He's going to use a scripture, he's going to use quotes, and he's going to stick it in your eyes, and you're not going to be able to see. And he's got proof. See, I told you you weren't. How do you get that taken care of? How do you get your eyesight back? You get some balm. Get some eye salve. Get your seeing restored. Stop believing what he's telling you. When you surrender, they take their weapons away. You're helpless. You're powerless. Put your eyes out. Then you can't tell who you are. He'll convince you you're Samson every time. Or Job every time. He'll convince you that whatever you're not. When Job was accused, he refused to surrender. Job, we know you're a secret sinner. You know you are. He sat there in all his misery. He said, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what this is all about. Cursed is the day I was born. I'm so miserable. But I know I've done what I was supposed to do. Oh, if we could just get there. I don't understand what's going on in my life, but I know what God has said to me. I know what God has revealed to me. I know who I am. I don't understand it, but you're miserable. You better believe it. I go through misery. Don't we all go through miserable times? We've been through some good times around here, brother and sister. And you know what? It has nothing to do with it. You still believe exactly what God has revealed to you. That is what cannot be shaken. Amen. You stand on that word. You sit there in your misery like Job, and you say, I don't understand what's going on, but I know what God has said to me. I know whom I have believed. Amen. I know who got my security in his hands. I know what this word has meant to me. Amen. I know how he has changed me. Amen. Well, you just went and had a big hissy fit yesterday, you hypocrite. Yeah? I still know what God has said to me.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's Job. He didn't surrender. Think of it. They had him out there making sport out of him, entertaining that drunken bunch. What a reproach that was. What a disgrace that was. Whew. You ever felt that way? You know you have. We all have. We have been the biggest reproach. Sometimes I think, God, I'm the biggest reproach to you that I've ever been. What do I know? And that's true. It's horrible. But what are you going to do? Just quit? I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, you quit and that makes you a hypocrite. Because it's all about your pride. Oh, I'm not going to be a hypocrite if I can't live. Okay, that's your pride talking. Get over it. You get to the point where I don't care if I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world. I got to know Christ. If it takes me a hypocrite to get there, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I got to have him. Swallow your pride. Get over yourself. What an example that is. It puts me in the mind of a defeated nation that's morally decayed. As Samson stood by the side of this column, making sport of the enemy, humiliated and broken. What a condition he was in. A very symbol of a fallen nation. A morally corrupted nation. Can we just stop and just say that not in 2015, we have a morally corrupt nation? He was saying this back in 1963. Did we change? Has it gotten worse? We used to stand as the policemen of the world. We were that symbol of freedom. The whole world looked at the United States and said, oh my goodness, to live in America. Oh my goodness, that's what I want. Look what the freedom they have. Look at us. And look at us now. We are scorned and ridiculed. Our president goes around the world kowtowing and apologizing for all the mistakes we've made, and they look at him as just another weak buffoon. It's what it is. That's what we become. We become just a mockery to the world. Why? Because we rejected Christ. We got off the foundation this country was built on. We're morally decayed. How much more immoral can we get? You saw this thing about Planned Parenthood? Aborted babies, selling the baby, the body parts. That's what your tax money is doing, paying for that. Oh. A fallen church that sold its birthrights, fallen into moral decay and surrendered itself to the enemy. A public example. Though you were raised up to serve God, but a fall away into moral decay gets you in that condition. What an example that was. Brother and sister, we can look at this nation. We see naturally that just is an example of what's going on spiritually, brother and sister. What you see, the moral decay of our nation, is because of the moral decay of our church. It's morally corrupt. Oh, yeah, message churches too. But they still dress right, and they still have the long hair, and they still quote the prophet. Brother and sister, come on. When you reject Christ, what good does all that do? And Christ is the word today manifest, and when you reject that and the voice of God speaking today through the ministry, you're as morally corrupt as this country. I don't care what facade you put on and make yourself look good. Look at the churches in this country. They're more beautiful than ever. There's more money spent. There's more people in them. You reject Christ, and you are bankrupt. Blinded. You know, back in the day when Brother Branham was here, the foundation... The proof was the manifestation of the word. What's the proof now? What's the proof now? Can you quote the prophet? Do you know what the prophet said? Where's the manifestation? Why is that no longer the proof? Why is that no longer the benchmark, the foundation? How do you judge a preacher now? Because he can quote the prophet? Or do you see Christ manifest to his ministry? How come it's not that way anymore? Because we've been blinded. We decided to educate ourselves instead of continually follow that benchmark. And now we've been blinded. And we think, as long as I know what the prophet said, everything's just fine. Morally corrupt. We're blinded. We don't even see the manifestation of the word around us. And when we do see it, we don't like it. He said, I can just hear all the warriors around, all the ladies with their beads and bracelets and fine jewels and so forth said, so this is Samson. Oh my. This is that mighty one that you've talked about. This is that man that you said the spirit of the great gods lived in. This is a man that could take over our nation. You talked about that, but look at him now. Oh, brother and sister, how the Baptists and the Catholics and the Amish and the Muslims and everything can look at the message ranks and say, oh, this is the great message of the hour, huh? This is what Brother Branham came to preach about. This is the message. This is what he was all about. You had a great prophet. Y'all can't get over talking about your great prophet. And this is what he produced. Oh, yeah, this is going to take the rapture instead of us. Come on. Look around the message ranks and tell me you don't see Samson standing there blind, weak, corrupted by what? A woman. Spiritually. We've been taken over by that denomination we all talk about. Oh, that great mother whore. Well, guess whose daughter she is? You get off the foundation, brother and sister, you can't go anyplace else but corrupt. There's no way. We educate ourselves into the message. Yeah, doesn't look like much. All these messy churches sitting around can't get along with each other. Ain't that amazing? Talked about, hey, Brother Branham talked about how many different kinds of denominations Pentecost had splintered up into. Not even close to the number that the message churches are splintered up into. Oh my goodness, we can't get along with anybody. Why? Because it's an education. If you don't agree with the way I see it, then you're wrong. I'm not going to fellowship with you. It's not that the very spirit of denomination that Brother Branham says was the curse of it because it separates? Tell me that spirit isn't thriving among our ranks. He said, well, Brother Phil, they don't preach it right. They don't agree with it. Okay, and what did Brother Branham say to do about that? He didn't say separate yourself from them. What are you afraid of? Well, what if we get deceived? Oh my goodness, then you're going to get deceived because only the elect are not. And if you're afraid to get deceived, you don't even know who you are. You don't. You don't have a revelation of who you are if you're being afraid. Well, I might get deceived. You're sitting under a pastor who's going to keep you straight. If you don't have confidence in that, why are you bothering to be here? That's what the ministry is for, is keep you straight. You don't have to worry about what if someone comes in and preaches something different. Go for it. Have your own way. Speak what you want to speak. I'm not afraid. Are you? Of course you're not. There's nothing to fear. What if something, their spirit rubs off on me? Rub. Put your arm around them and love them as a brother, as a sister, and manifest Christ so they can see something real. Oh my goodness, is not that how you're supposed to get people to Christ? I see so much denominations all just chock full of this stuff in our churches. I heard recently where someone, they quit. They didn't agree with their pastor, so they just stubbed and said, I don't agree with what you're doing, whatever. He left church. They're still message believers. They don't go to church. Sit at home, listen to tapes. And you know what's really funny? About 20 years ago, that brother told me I was wrong because I had done the same thing because I got under the influence of my dad and I quit going to church. Y'all, you don't remember that, but it happened. And he got it, and he played a tape, said, Brother Branham said, do not quit going to church. If you have the love of God in you, you will go. You can't wait for the doors to open. And now he's sitting at home, and I'm in church. How did that happen? How did that happen? I'll tell you real simple. I sat under a ministry that told me the truth, and he didn't. That's exactly right. Because, brother and sister, you cannot go against what the prophet said and come out right. He said, what an example, what a lesson it ought to be to us, what a solemn thing it ought to be. We should not just approach this as some get-together, have a good time, a celebration. We come together to see where we are standing, to see what's happening to us. That's why we're here. Let's see what's happening. Are we standing defeated like Samson? Not even knowing we're blind? See, in this age, Samson doesn't know he's blind. He doesn't know he's making sport. He doesn't know that he's been defeated. He's a message believer. Well, Samson back there was a message believer too, brother and sister, for that age. But at least he knew. Today we're blinded. Isn't that what it says in Revelations? Miserable, naked, wretched, blind. Making sport for the denominations. And we don't know it. And I could hear, Samson no doubt could hear from one side, the other one. People had heard them say, well, and so this is Samson. He said, I wonder today if the enemy can also at this time say about the same thing about our Pentecostal move. Well, let's just bring it up currently. So this is the message. This is the great message that you all can't get over. This is what Brother Branham preached. This is it, huh? This is going to take you in a rapture. Can't even get to church half the time, but it's going to take you in a rapture. Well, if God's with you, where are your miracles? Where's the power of God? I don't see the things happening that happened when Brother Brandon was here. You ever hear that? I have. Where is the God of Elijah that you all talk about so much? You got him on your tapes. This is why Samson stands blinded today, because he doesn't recognize the God of Elijah. I don't care if he calls himself a messianic believer or not, because the God of Elijah is just as real as he's ever been, and he's performing the same miracles. He has the same power. He has the same strength, and he's doing the same things he's always done in every age. Do you have eyes to see that? Yes, you do. That's exciting. So this is what the message produced, huh? Look at Dixon, Tennessee. My. This is all that. Who's mocking you now? Who's finding fault now? Is it your enemies or your friends? It's your friends. Just like Job. So this is what God produced? Message believers look at you and say, really? What is it? It's Job's comforters. They said to Job, so this is Job. Remember how everyone respected him? He'd go through the city and everyone just want to hear a word from Job. Everyone just said, Job said, hey, Job, what should I do about this? Job, hey, it's Job, y'all. Give some respect. He'd come walking by, everyone would stand, everyone would bow. This is Job. And then, what happened? His God turned away from him. God forsaken him. Why? Because he had done something wrong. He had done some kind of sin. Because God doesn't do that if you haven't done something to earn it. God, Job didn't understand why. Hey, he was thinking, how could a just God just do this? Just turn off, just take everything away? How could it be? So this is Job. So this is Dixon. Just to speak the name Samson, they would all get nervous because he was an anointed servant of God. Back in the day, you just speak the name Brother Branham. People, they knew to be quiet. They knew not to say too much when he was around. When Brother Jerry started here, people were like respectful. Church started building up. People started coming in. What happened? It's time to turn some corners. So this is what happened with Brother Jerry's ministry in Dixon. My goodness, a dozen people here, huh? So this is Dixon. Yep. It is. And I am perfectly happy with the way things are going here. Amen. Everybody used to respect us. Not everybody. Let me change that. A lot of people did. And then one bad thing after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, and surely there's something wrong there. There's got to be something wrong. Well, it's time to identify yourself. Dixon, are you Samson or are you Job? Who are you tonight? He said, if that just isn't about the way the enemy likes to do when he gets you down, he dares to try that as long as the power of God's operating through the church. He'd be afraid to do that when the Nazarite blessing is on you, but if he can see you whipped, that's when he makes fun of you. But we've heard that around here. people saying all kinds of things. We're going through a hard time, and they'll say all kinds of crazy stuff, the most amazing things. Things that I'm not even going to repeat up here, but it's just stuff that you wouldn't even say that. You wouldn't say that. A decent person wouldn't say those things, and yet they say that about us. Accusations. Talking about all kinds of immorality, and this must be wrong, and that must be wrong, and whatever. And they say, well, I'd go to that church if you had a different pastor. I'm glad we have this pastor, because I don't want you with that attitude. I don't want you here. If you don't care more about your soul than that, then don't come. Is it because of failure like Samson, or is it a test like Job? You got to answer the question. Because if Satan can convince you it's because of your failure, he's going to keep you beat down. And what he does, he presents you with some kind of legalistic spirit, some kind of something like that. Say, well, if you just quit doing that, you just quit doing that, you just quit doing that, if you could just quit that. And then he just whoops you down, and pretty soon you're saying that I can't. And the test isn't about that at all. The test is, do you believe what God told you? Are you Job? And God's saying, you're Job. Quit acting like Samson. He said, that's when he can say there's no difference between them and us. They're just the same men like we are. See, when you're living a life where you're the power of God, and you are conducting yourself like a son of God, and they see the Spirit of God working through you. I remember here several years ago, God had just really done something for Brother Jim, and some of his family started getting on him, and someone else spoke up and said, no, don't talk about him. Don't talk about him like that. Why? Because they recognized that God was working in his life. They said, don't talk about him like that anymore. He's different. But see, when they see you beat down, when they see you making mistakes, then they start feeling, oh, we're the same. We're the same. Your denomination is the same as ours. A lot of times they're right. A lot of times they're not. I remember back a long time ago, I got backslid and I started drinking again. And I had about 4 years, I was working down here at Jackson Academy. About 4 years after I started, I totally backslid. I quit church for 2 weeks. Started drinking. And a buddy of mine, we were sitting there, and he said something like this. He said, man, you know what? I really like to see what you're doing now, because when you were living that way you were, man, I just was so uncomfortable. But I see you're just like me. He felt good about it. How low could a man feel? Because that's how I felt. I said, what a reproach. What a disgusting thing I'm doing. Because your life is a testimony. And when they look at you and see, oh, you're just like I am, there's no big difference, then there's no big difference. He said, but when there's something different, something outstanding with Jehovah's blessing on it, then they're scared to say anything. Long as I can see that power of God working, the devil's got some sense enough to keep his mouth shut. But when he knows you're defeated, he turns every devil loose he can loose on you. Now look. You say, Job didn't do anything wrong, and yet Satan was turned loose on him, right? It was the test. Samson was defeated, and Satan turned every devil loose on him. He lost his eyes, and he went down, and he was being mocked. It was because of the difference in their trial. Make sense? You see what I'm saying? You have to recognize who you are, what you're doing, where you're at. If you're doing something wrong and God's punishing you, then own it. Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. I should not be there. You know, I'm reaping what I sowed. But don't let Satan beat you around and condemn you unjustly if that's not the reason. After God restored Job, do you think anyone was accusing him openly of being a secret sinner? See, when you got the power of God working through you, brother and sister, there's nothing to fear. He said, how those warriors remembered. Could it be possible we got the wrong man? Some of them might have said, no, that's him. I can see his statue. That's Samson, the one who served what he said was a true God. But his God sure has forsaken him. My. Could this be a true message, church? Look at all the problems they're having. Surely God wouldn't treat them like that. Has God forsaken them? Surely he has. Has God forsaken you? Sounds like Job, right? But now this is talking about Samson. Listen to what's about Samson. He said, they were wrong. First of all, let me just go group together. He said, but his God sure has forsaken him, but they were wrong. God had not forsaken him. He had forsaken God. There's the difference. So tonight, if you're in a trial, have you forsaken God or has God forsaken you? If you did something wrong, brother and sister, God has not forsaken you. You've forsaken him. He's the one who left. I mean, you're the one who left. He didn't leave you. You left him. It isn't God that forsaken his church. It's the church has forsaken God and his word. That's what's the matter. God didn't forsake Job, and Job didn't forsake God. It was just a test. It looked like he did. It looked like God had forsaken Job, didn't it? Didn't, is that what his friends said? Oh, God's left you. You're a secret sinner. God doesn't do this to a pure person, a holy person. It looked like he had forsaken him, but he hadn't. He said another group could remember one night down at Gaza how they had pinned him in. He still had the anointing on him. They tried to pin him in, shut the gates on him. They said, now we'll pounce on him. But the Spirit of the Lord returned to him. He picked up the whole gates and walked up the hill with them. When a man is in the line of duty for God, there's no gate, no nothing can stand in his way. The devil tried to fence God's man and people in one day with the Red Sea, but he went right through it just the same. Now listen to this. When as long as a man is in the service of God, as long as the anointing and blessing is upon him, he shouldn't fear nothing. Because he's promised us he'd be with us and nothing would bother us by no means. If you're walking in the purpose of God and you're walking in his will, you should fear nothing. Because he promised to be with us and nothing can bother us by no means. Did Job feel like that? No, he didn't feel like that at all. Was it still true? Absolutely it was. Amen. That's why you see sometime a minister will come out and he's having a hard time. He might be feeling bad, you know, mentally, physically ill or whatever. And he'll preach like Brother Branham said. He's out preaching. He was just sick, standing up there swallowing down when his stomach was bothering him. People come up and he'd heal them. He wouldn't heal them. He'd pray for them. They'd be healed. The anointing was on them. It had nothing to do with the condition of the minister. God will still use the man. Nothing to fear. He said, when a man comes in the anointing of the Holy Ghost with the word of the Lord, with thus saith the Lord, you better have better sense than try to attack it. Because you'll find there's a hand of the living God and it's heavy. You ever feel that hand of the living God in a bad way, in a heavy way? He'll make your life miserable. You want to speak against this? You want to speak against what I'm doing? You want to attack what I'm doing? He'll make it heavy. He said, here stands the same man, defeated, helpless, and blind. Reminds me of Revelation 3, a church. I can almost point you to a church like that, helpless, defeated, and blind, rejecting the promises, rejecting the word. Miserable, blind, and naked. Don't know it. A church that Christ promises would have power over sickness. In my name they shall cast out devils. Taking up a devil and casting him away. The blessing that he promises church. And because the church has turned from prayer meetings and from sincerity and made the religion of Christ a tradition and has took all the strength out of it, glamour coming to our church, she just stands about defeated. Made the religion of Christ a tradition. And we see so much of that, brothers and sisters. It's just a tradition. You go to church, you listen to a tape, you hear the preacher preaches what Brother Branham said, but where's the power? Where's the strength? It's just become a tradition. Let me read about one or two more quotes and I'm going to wrap it up. He said, this is an example of what happens when God, his long suffering finally wears out with you. I'm talking about Samson. His long suffering finally wore out. He's long suffering, but remember, his patience has an end. Don't put off. Don't keep putting off. Don't say, well, I'll get right after a while. I'll quit this after a while. Brother, sister, his patience has an end. You'll only be a reproach so much before he's going to say, you're going to stop reproaching my name. You're going to stop reproaching the message of the hour. You're going to stop reproaching the church in Dixon. His hand becomes heavy. He said, you're going to stop this? Now, Samson was doing the wrong thing the very night they had gone down and got him. But finally, God got enough of it. So even when Samson was down there in Gath, or where Gath, whatever he's penned in, he was down there chasing some woman. And yet God was still anointing him. And he still protected him. He still picked up the gate and walked out with it. Samson shouldn't have been there to begin with, but God was still taking care of him. But you know what? After a while, God said, okay, I've had enough. You keep playing around with this and keep playing around with this and keep playing around with this. And I'm going to have your eyes put out. Yes, sir. Listen to this. God finally had got enough of it. He couldn't correct him. Oh, my. His parents tried to correct him. The rest of Israel tried to correct him. But he was just always, his weakness was chasing after woman. That's the weakness of this church. The messy church, every church, chasing after a woman. Trying to be like the others. Trying to have a denomination. Trying to do this. Trying to be glamorous. Trying to be beautiful. Mama. The beautifulest one. He couldn't correct him. Oh my. How many message believers can accept correction today? How many can accept correction? Remember when there was about 50 or 60 people here? How many accepted the correction? How many accepted it's time to change, turn the corner? It's time to move on. It's time to leave your old piddly little idols of what you call the message behind. And they refuse correction and they get the eyes put out and they're blind. He said, my prayer is that, God, never let this Pentecostal church get to a place where God's patience was wore out with you. Did it happen? Oh, yes, it did. He sent his prophet, and he went around the world. He went back and forth across this nation. He said, I come back through here, and the year later, the people are worse off than they were this time, the time before. And they come back again, they're going to be worse off than now. He brought correction, and they totally turned them down. Their eyes were blinded. Their ear was pierced with an awl. They'd take the mark. He'll send messengers, as we taught this week, rising up prophets down through the ages, foretelling his word and bringing his word back, and then you continually walk away from it. How are you going to sit there on Judgment Day and you've listened to the tape week after week after week in your church and still not doing what it says? Why? Because your eyes are blinded. You can't even recognize what he's doing. Sending messengers and prophets Look at all the ministry in the world today. Look at the people who are preaching this message right. You say there's not there. There's plenty of them. There's enough to go around. God doesn't leave us short. But who is going to accept the correction? We want an anointing and a good feeling and get prayed for and walk out of here, loop-de-doo-doo, we had a great service. But when the correction comes, we walk out mad. He said, you'll find yourself blinded too, powerless, helpless, defeated. And I'm afraid that's where we're getting to. Samson fell for glamour. The very thing the church today is falling for, glamour. What a pity it is to see these things happening. Samson wouldn't accept correction. He wouldn't change. Job would. His test wasn't a correction. His test wasn't a correction. It was a proof. Hallelujah. God was proving to the world, to Satan, to Job himself, to everyone, to us down in this age. He was proving that when you are standing for God, God will not forsake you. God puts you through tests, but there's a reason for it. It's not a punishment. It's a proof. My. That's one of the things that excites me most about Dixie, Tennessee than anything else, is because after all these years and after all we've gone through, I can sit there and I can see a proof. This message is true. It has manifested what it promised to manifest. It didn't make me weak on the message. It didn't make me want to turn away. It doesn't make me want to say, well, Brother Branham must have been wrong. It makes me believe it more than ever. It's had the effect it was supposed to have. When you're going through a hardship, if you have a religion that doesn't take you through it, what good is your religion? What good is it? This message has been proved to be right. He said, well, Brother Branham did this wrong, or he said this wrong, or this didn't turn out the way it thought. You know what? I tell you what, you just hang on to all your little excuses and your little arguments, and on judgment day you bring them out there and string them up before God and say, well, this is why the message was wrong. Guess who's going to look stupid? Because you don't understand something? You don't understand the way Brother Branham said it, so he was wrong? Brother Branham said a lot of things that weren't true, that weren't correct. Boy, that just scalded some people. It's true. Why did he do that? To stumble all you scholars who are trying to prove it. 2 + 2 = 4. That ain't the way you study the message. Oh, that still don't go over very good sometimes. Well, you can't say Brother Branham was wrong sometimes. Yes, I can too. I can show you numerous places. Has nothing to do with it. God manifesting his word is what matters, brother and sister. Well, you say, well, what do I believe then? You believe what God speaks to you, what he reveals to you. So you pick and choose. No, you don't pick and choose. You believe what God reveals to you. He picks and chooses. Well, that makes me uncomfortable. Well, it's about time we got uncomfortable then. Because you need to get rid of your idolatry. Come on, amen. Look, Peter in the Bible said, Paul preaches stuff I don't even understand. Didn't he say that? He says it's hard to, and people who are unlearned wrestle with him or something like that. You know, they try to make it work. Well, Paul said this here and here, and so we got to make, oh, I can't make this fit. Paul must have been wrong. Tell me they didn't do that back then. They're doing it today. You say, well, I need to see where Brother Branham said something wrong. Well, just have me over for dinner and I'll give you a bring about. I'm just playing. Don't do that. You know what I'm talking about. He even said, so he said, sometimes I exaggerate. Didn't he just say, brother, that Samson was this great big machine of a man? How many times did he say he was a scrawny little fella? Now, which was he? One place he says Samson's a big book of a man. Another place he says he's a scrawny little shrimp with curly hair. Well, which was? He can't be both. What was it? And yet people said, well, he had to be both. Brother Branham said it. Brother Branham's making illustrations to make a point. My. Did your eternal destination rest on what size Samson was? Then let's not get all tore up about things that are not important like that. Let's get to the main thing. Let me read this one more part here. He said, we want to outshine the Methodists, the Presbyterians, Baptists. He said, that's not your purpose. That's not why you are what you are. Why are you what you are? God already had that. He didn't raise you up for that. He raised you up as an example that he might place his power in you to show forth his glory. Our purpose is to show forth his glory. Our purpose is to show that this message is correct. This is Christ. Maybe if we did a better job of that, fewer people would be leaving the message. Ooh. Maybe if we're a little saltier, people would want it. Maybe if people saw more Christ, they wouldn't be leaving. But let me say something else. Everyone's without excuse. They're not going to stand on judgment and say, well, if this person would have been more Christ-like, I would have believed it. I'm sorry. That ain't going to fly. Because if you want Christ, you're going to find him. Your choice. Your choice. So what do you think was going through that man's mind? I believe he was thinking while he was there, yet total blind, never to have his sight again. He was thinking about all the great victories that God had given him. There he was, thinking of the days that was what they used to do. Remembering all his victories. You ever consider what God has done through you? The victories you've had? What he's done for you? The times you've been so close? Are you as close now as you were? Oh no, Brother Phil, I just don't feel close. Okay, now just stop! Are you going through a Job test? Do you think Job felt close to God during that time? He didn't feel God at all. He didn't feel close to him. So I'm not talking about do you feel close to God. But are you? Do you love God as much as you ever have? Remember when God used you to say just the right thing to the right at the right time to the right person? And you walked away knowing that was God. You did something, and something just you just knew God had just used you for that. For me, it's little things. It's not like Samson, where I go out and slay 1,000 Philistines or rip a lion apart or something. But sometimes something will come up, and I'll say something, or I'll do something. I know that was God doing it, and you just walk away, and you think, man, it'll humble you that God would use you to do something. And then I go out and I do something wrong. I bring a reproach and I think, God used me. But now look what I'm doing. And there stands Samson, the messenger of the day, the leader supposed to be totally defeated. What's he going to do? He done the right thing. He repented. He changed. Now he had one last shot at it, is all he had. But he got the right approach. He said, just let me die with the Philistines. Let me die. And that's what we need, brother and sister.
when you run up through those things where you find yourself backsliding, when we find ourselves doing things we shouldn't do, we find ourselves stubbing that same thing over and over, we need to have the attitude, just let me die. I'm not talking about physically dying, I'm talking about dying to yourself. Let me give this up. Let me die to this thing I love. Let me die to this trap, this addiction, whatever it is. Just let me die. Amen. Let me read one more quote. And that's just about the way man is. As I said here some time ago, man is always thinking back what God did. Do we have to look back a ways to see what God done for us? Is it a historic thing? Where's your confidence in? Well, I know in 2006, God done so-and-so for me. Is that the last time? It's not much of a personal God. Look what he's trying. Look, he said, look what he's doing now. We know what he has done, and he's sending to us and trying to stir us up again, trying to bring us back to the path to his word and proving it by his vindicated word. I'm going to read that again. Please listen just a little bit. We know what he has done, and he's sending to us and trying to stir us up again, trying to bring us back to the path of his word and proving it by his vindicated word. That's what he's doing. He's trying to prove it by vindicating the word. And we just sit, sleep, go home, say, well, what did he say? I hate to go hear them carry on so long. Sometimes that's the attitude at church. So, brother and sister, tonight, I just want to ask you, tonight, are you Job or are you Samson? The last time you went through a trial, were you Job or were you Samson? What direction are you headed? What's God doing tonight, stirring up in you tonight? If you're Samson, just do the same, do the right thing. Do what Samson did. Pray from your heart, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And if you're Job, don't you dare surrender. Don't you dare surrender. Don't you dare give in. Don't you dare listen to your friends telling you how wrong you are. You stay right with what God has revealed to you. And if you're sitting there and everyone around you is abandoning you, said, I know what God said to me. I know what God revealed to me. And I'm going through the fire. I'm going through the flood. I'm going through this, whatever, this desert experience, whatever it is. God's going to take me through. Because for all I know, God turned to Satan and said, look at my son, Paul. You can't get him to deny me. Look at my son, Gene, over there. He's rock solid. Yes, Brother Gene, you feel rock solid? No. Doesn't matter how you feel, though, does it? When God has revealed something and you rest on that revelation, even the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. They'll try, but they can't, as long as you stay right there on that word. You step out from behind it like Eve did, you're going to be blinded. You stay right there on it, and the waves will wash over you, and your friends will abandon you, whatever is going on. It doesn't matter. You stay right there, because that's going to give you a new body one day. It is. You believe that? You're crazy, but that's good. All right, let's stand. Crazy faith, brother and sister. It doesn't make sense. When God reveals something, it just doesn't make sense to our mind a lot of times. Tell Noah it's going to rain. Come on. The whole story of Samson is ridiculous. Really, you believe some guy back running around like Superman back in those days? Tearing lions apart, killing 1,000 people like some super ninja warrior? All this stuff they have today is just it's just imitation of the real. All the superheroes. There's plenty of superheroes. Real ones. We're going to meet them someday. Amen. God bless you this evening. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and speak, Lord, and just encourage us. Help us, Lord Jesus, that this word will have the effect you would have it to have, and don't let it just return void, but Lord, help us to understand more about you, Father, as you reveal yourself to us so we can understand the direction you're taking us, and Father, your character, and sometime when we don't understand that, we just hold on in faith until you explain it sometime by and by, if you decide to, Lord, and if not, then we'll just keep walking, Lord, because sooner or later, Lord, we know that the end is going to be worse at all. Lord, we don't want to miss that. Just today, as I was outside and just the wind blowing, it was such a beautiful day, and it just made me long for home and thinking, oh, I don't want to miss. Don't want to miss going home. Don't want to miss heaven, because it's going to, just a little taste today, just to, like a tease, it's going to be so wonderful. Help us, Lord. Don't let a single one of us miss it. And I believe you will do that. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Nate, would you come on up? To be like Jesus. Let's sing that. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.